It's unusual, but it's never unusual to hear the conversations that take place in regard to just life in general. Today, the conversations about, I mean, Greg talked about it. It's just the idea that, do you ever remember a time in your life where you can't look back and say God was in control? If you can't say that, you're blind to the fact that God is in control. Several verses I've memorized. He talks about it, because I love those verses. Everything I have said, that I will do. Everything I have planned, that I will bring about. I have a son that's going to go into the world and going to die. We think about that, and can you imagine people sending their sons into service, military service, and they don't know. God did this knowing. Jesus went into this. He didn't go into military service wondering if a sniper was going to kill him. He went into this knowing. And this wasn't a sniper's bullet through the head that was quick. This was on a cross. He knew this was coming. He prayed that in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if there's any way you could take this cup from me. He was praying as a human being. But then as God, he said, but it's not me. It's your will. Let it be done. Guilty, you got your sheets there. Guilty of doing nothing wrong. Being convicted of doing nothing wrong. And sentenced to death for doing nothing wrong. And as I thought about that, I had to write that next little statement. This just seems really unfair. What Lori talked about today, I was going to put that on the beginning, but we had that conversation, and she just decided to go exactly what we were talking about. There are people in history, throughout history, that have been accused, convicted, and sentenced to death, and then the death penalty, she didn't cover the penalties that had been carried out, and then later found out that the person was innocent. Let me remind you of this. Jesus was found guilty for doing nothing wrong. He was being convicted for doing nothing wrong. He was sentenced to death for doing nothing wrong. And he paid that price for doing nothing wrong. It just doesn't seem fair. But you know what? If you really get right down to it, it's the only thing that he could do. It's the only thing that gives us hope. It's the only thing that we have in front of us that we can say, God, death is brutal. It's no good. But thank you. But thank you. Wow. It's an amazing thing. Would have been perfect for a Paul Harvey, the rest of the story episode. I don't know if you remember that, but he always told stories that once he got halfway through it, he'd say, now stay tuned for the rest of the story. And then he would throw that little twist in. Let's go to John. When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. He knew where he was going, and he went anyway. He knew there was something, he knew exactly what was coming. Now, way back when we talked about in John 6:25, it tells us that Jesus, when the disciples went across in a boat and were on land, all of a sudden Jesus shows up. And he was where they were when they started. He just mysteriously showed up. This is Jesus at his best. He's divine. John 8:59. Says the crowd, they were trying to grab him, and he slipped away. You know, I don't know about you, but if there's a crowd trying to grab you, the chances and likelihood of you just slipping away, pretty remote. But then in John 10:39, somehow he escaped again. That's the one, I had the one where Jesus showed up with the disciples on the shore. And I said, I love time travel. I don't know if you remember that, but he was there. He doesn't have to wait. Remember this. Jesus lives in eternity. He doesn't regard the clock. We need to live in eternity. Do you understand that? If we're concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow or what happened yesterday, and what does God give us? He gives us the hope of knowing what's coming. And he expects us to live in eternity. And granted, we got to be to work on time. We got, you know, things that we're tied to. But ever since he created the earth and he said, and the morning and the evening were the first day, that 24-hour period locked us in to time. Remember, Jesus isn't locked into time. John 18:1-4. Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. These were all Jews. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Why would they be carrying weapons? Jesus already proved, I'm just going to slip away. Slip away, remember that song? Jesus had the ability to just slip away. Well, they thought, we're going to resolve that issue and we're going to bring force. And they did. Torches, lanterns, and weapons. They were not going to lose track of him. Jesus, in verse 4, said, knowing all that was going to happen to him, he went to them and said, who is it that you're looking for? Those people that Lori mentioned. Do you think they went out and said, if they were guilty? If they were guilty of what they did, you think they would go out and say, are you looking for me? Not likely. But if you're not guilty, what have you got to fear? See, that's why that is so important, what you talked about, because Jesus was not guilty. He had nothing to fear. I didn't do anything wrong. What do you want? I'm him. Kidron Valley. The Kidron Valley it's actually a riverbed, a creek stream bed if you've ever been in the woods, streams usually flow in a valley or a bed. This particular one flowed from the temple where they butchered all of the sacrifices. And as we talked about in the past, they butchered sacrifice after sacrifice. I mean, hundreds of sacrifices a month. And can you? I used to live by a butcher house. I mean, where they killed the cows and cut them up and got them ready for selling. And we'd watch every now and then, and the blood was just, it was massive, the amount of blood. And I thought about that. I used to think about it when I was a kid. They're butchering all these animals for sacrifices. What do they do with all that blood after I saw that, you know, at the butcher slaughter shop? Well, it goes down the Kidron River. They drained it into the Kidron River, which must have done what to the water? Turned it blood red. God's story to us is not by accident. Blood red river, right where Jesus was going, just signifies what he was going to do. He was the ultimate sacrifice. His blood would flow. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And the officials were all there. These were people that were high up in the Jewish realm. He knew full well that his time had come. Remember back when he made the comment to them, to the disciples, "My time has not yet come. My time has not yet come." You see, can we do that? We could say, "Well, you know, we were in that bad car accident. I should have said, oh, our time has not yet come." But that means we would have known when our time was coming. Jesus knew. And he made that comment two or three times. "My time has not yet come." He's not trying to hide or escape. He actually walked into the trap. He knew full well that his time had come. With no hesitation, he went willingly. He went to the place that he frequently visited. They could find him there easily because he was there on a regular basis. And then they didn't have to look very hard. But it puzzles me. They didn't recognize him. He approached them, and he actually asked them who they wanted, and he knew he was ready. Verses 5 through 9, "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied, "I am..." Now, where have you ever heard "I am" before? Somebody shoot that to me. "I am." Way back in the Old Testament. "I am." Do you think the Jews, and especially the Pharisees and the priests in the temple, knew that phrase? They used that phrase. They knew it referred to God. And what did Jesus say? "I am he," Jesus said. Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground because they knew what that meant. And I still don't understand. I didn't find anything written about why they didn't recognize Jesus. But they fell to the ground because of that phrase, "I am." And again he asked them, who is it you want? Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. If you are looking for me, then let these men, the disciples, go. Jesus readily admitted to being the one that they were looking for. Something very strange then happened, and they drew back and fell to the ground. The fact Luke records that Jesus healed the wound of the soldier that got his ear cut off. Can you imagine what the rest of the guards thought when he did that? It's not like he hadn't performed miracles before. But what message did that send them? This guy can do whatever he pleases. Guards? Swords? Jesus is obviously in control, but it's one of those things where they didn't realize that. But they thought he would try to take control because they watched him do it in the past. Jesus, verse 10, Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. Now see, John doesn't record the healing. I brought that up because that's in other gospels, but not here. And that's just because maybe the other gospels covered it. I don't know. But Jesus healed that cut off ear. And Simon Peter was taken. Do you think when he did that, the soldiers turned to Jesus? Was the attention on Jesus when Simon Peter did that? No. Who was it on? Simon Peter. He grabbed his sword and obviously, in the accounts that I read, he was behind the guy because you couldn't very easily do that to somebody if they're watching you. So it was kind of a sneak attack. But Simon Peter took the stage. And Jesus said, no, you don't. You are not going to take the stage. In fact, here, I'm going to heal your ear. Simon Peter, put that sword away. That's not what this is about. It's about me. If Jesus were to stand there and say, it's about me, Simon. It's not about you. Jesus is pretty selfish. You bet. I'm glad. You understand that? I get amazed every time I read this section when the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas, and Annas had been a prior high priest. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jewish leaders that it would be good if one man died for the people. He's a rabble-rouser. We got to pick a person to die for the people, knowing what they were going to try to do. He just, you know, they do it so much today. All it takes is a comment. Those people are bad, or they're this, or they're that. It just makes people hate people. That's what he was doing with Jesus. I got to make these people hate him. Because he hasn't done anything wrong. In fact, that comes out later on in the questioning of Jesus. It comes out that he didn't do anything wrong. 15 through 18, Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus because this disciple was known to the high priest. he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, took Peter, but Peter had to wait outside the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back to Peter at the door, spoke to the servant girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. So who was that person? Well, it's John. So Peter got to go in. Woohoo! I get to go in. I get to be with Jesus. Peter, in verses 15 through 18, Peter had made it clear earlier on that I will stick by you, Jesus, no matter what. To the death, I will stick by you. And what did Jesus tell him at that point? You're going to deny me three times, Peter. And every disciple denied this him at this point. Everyone. And the purpose was what? Because this has to be Jesus. It's not the disciples. This has to be about Jesus. John had prior connections to the high priest and convinced the guard to allow Peter to go in. In Matthew 26, 34, I was going to ask somebody to pull that up quick. Matthew 26, 34, the prediction of Peter's denial, because to hear it read the way they wrote it is really interesting.
You got 36. Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you that this very night, before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times."
Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me. And who did he say it to? Directly to Peter. Peter is trying to show Christ as his friend, as his follower, committed disciple. I'm going to stick with you to the end, even to death. And then to have Jesus say, even as a friend, to say, you're wrong. You're going to deny me. In fact, you're not just going to deny me once. You're going to deny me three times. Peter, I can't imagine being Peter and saying, but Lord. He didn't say anything. So when confronted as a follower of Jesus, I mean, he readily denied Jesus. Let's look at verses 19. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. What does it say first? He questioned him about who? The disciples. And here we go again. This isn't about the disciples. And they're questioning about the disciples. And Jesus is trying to make it so clear, because it has to be, this is not about them. I want them to be released. And so they really wanted Jesus to answer these questions. They had him in captivity, and he said, before I go any further, you release those people. Let those guys go. He totally ignored the reference to the disciples. This is not about anyone but Jesus. He could not possibly tell all that he taught, but he made reference to all that he taught to the religious leaders and the people. They knew what he was teaching. Why do you think they went and sought him? They knew what he taught. There was no question about it. They heard it and they hated him for it. because he claimed to be God, basically. I'm going to go right to verse 15. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. And when they did that, we know that that was John. He went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, but Peter got brought in, which was out of the ordinary in reality, because he just didn't get to do that. And what does verse 17 say? You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you? She asked Peter. Wow. What did that do to Peter? Oh, fear. Fear set in because of what just took place with Jesus. He replied, I am not. Now, do you think Peter remembered when Jesus said, you're going to deny me? There's no doubt in my mind. He remembered that. But he said, oh, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said, well, that's only once. You can't make me do it twice. You can't make me do it three times. It was cold, and the servants and the officials stood around the fire that they had made to keep warm, and Peter was standing there with them, warming himself. He wanted to fit in with the crowd. That was a form of denial just in itself. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. I have spoken openly to the world, Jesus replied. I always taught in the synagogues, wasn't in private, or at the temple, wasn't in private, where all the Jews came together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? And then he had the answer that broke the camel's back. Why question me? He says, ask those who heard me. And they, those people that were doing this to him were standing right there. They were the ones that he's referring to. Ask those that hurt me. You heard me yourself, basically. So what did I say? He was throwing it right in their face, and it ticked them off. When Jesus said this, verse 22, one of the officials nearby slapped him in the face. Is this the way you answer the high priest? He demanded. And Jesus' answer was, if I said something wrong, testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me? Boy, that had to really tick him off. I mean, that had to really rile that guard. Why are you doing this to me? Does the truth always set you free? The truth sets you free with spiritual people. With non-spiritual people, this truth does not set you free. The truth is obscure to non-spiritual people. Terry Joe, what's that thing I do? Evil will always support evil and will never support good. Good will always support good and will never support evil. It just doesn't happen. So Jesus is throwing it in their face, and it's really making them angry. Jesus' authority made them nervous and angry. The slap on the face was just the beginning of the punishment that he was about to endure. Jesus made clear that he said nothing wrong and only told the truth. Was that a reason to strike him? If you don't want to hear the truth, yes. If you believe lies, yes. If you, the old movie, you can't handle the truth. Yes, there's a reason to slap him, because I don't like the truth. Darkness, lies, truth, light. What does God say about men liking the darkness? Remember the verse? Man likes darkness rather than truth. Why is that? Because they're from the dark side. They're from the dark side. We see that today so much. They're from the dark side. Do you think they understand the light? Do you think they understand it? No. They're from the dark side. They've been duped. Satan is powerful. A lion seeking whom he can devour. And he uses people to do it. Annas couldn't argue that point and basically sent the problem away. I mean, he was trapped. How could he answer that question? He was part of what Jesus was talking about. You heard what I said. If I told a lie, if I didn't speak the truth, tell me what I said that was a lie. And he was trapped. So he said, get this guy out of here. You're making me look bad. Verses 25 through 27. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself at the fire. So they asked him, you aren't one of his disciples too, are you? He denied it, saying, oh, I am not. Now, let me go back a little bit to where I talked about when Jesus replied, when he asked them, who are you looking for? And they told him, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And what was his answer? I am. Oh, isn't it interesting that Peter said the same thing. I am, but he says, not a follower. And he doesn't just say it once. Now it's twice. I am not. Jesus boldly stood up and said, I am. Readily accepting, knowing what he was going to go through. Peter still there in his effort to show Jesus his support, but doing so jeopardized his safety, and fear set in. When questioned again about his relationship with Jesus, he once again denied it. Being recognized by one of the people from the garden, people was confronted again. Oh, no, 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 it wasn't me. Once the rooster heard that denial, then the crowing began. I'm not going to read all of that because you're very familiar with it. Rooster's sitting there on his nest or wherever he was sitting, and he's looking at his watch. And, it's getting time here. It's getting close. Peter said, No, it's not me. Oh, it's my time. That was his little key to come into the play. And he says, And he did it three times. Do you think Peter remembered what Jesus said? What have I done? What have I done? Peter still didn't understand this wasn't about him. It's never about him. It's about Jesus. It's not about the disciples. It's about Jesus. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. We go through life and we think things are about us. We better change our mindset, because it's not about us if we're believers. It's about Jesus. My goal in life when I was young, get a good job, have a family, make money, buy things, have a great life. Does anybody grow up thinking they want to do something different than that? Well, when you accept Christ, my goodness, that all doesn't change dramatically. You may be a wealthy person and you're going to continue to be wealthy, but your mindset changes. It's not about me and my wealth anymore. It's not about me and my happiness anymore. This is about Jesus. And that should change us. More than just saying that now I have a home in heaven. We still live here. You ever think about that? Why doesn't Jesus, as soon as we accept him, just phew, take us home? Because he's got to have people here to tell that story, so he can work through us, so that people can hear our story, so that people can say, I'm interested. And then remember, don't ever forget, that's when Jesus does the calling. We just spread the message. He does the calling. It's not us. Well, this is not the rest of the story. Mark, you got next week, and stay tuned. A whole lot more is to come. Same time, same place next week. And I put a note here. Remember, Jesus cannot and will not allow anyone to step in and steal the show. You think you're out there telling, witnessing to people, and you're a big, oh, people are listening to me. Get over it. He is the one and only person that can and will pay the price for our sin. Jesus alone. People could have looked at Peter if he would have let Peter come along. If he would have let Peter be crucified, they could have looked to Peter. Peter had no power. Jesus did. We have no power of life and death. We don't have it. But who does? Jesus. He's the one we need to focus on in every aspect of our life. What Terry Joe has been going through at work. This has not just been a six-week process. It's been years in the making, because she's so busy. I don't know if you even realize how busy she is. And she just physically, she's mentally, she's stable and does it really, really well. But she can't keep up with it. She can't work 24 hours a day. And even then, so our prayer was, God, we don't know what to do. She wants to retire in 25, 30 years. What do we do? Open up the door. You ever just pray that? God, I don't know what to do. Open the door. Let me see what you have and make it clear. It's difficult. Because we want to be in control. We do. We want to be in control. Sometimes he lets us lose control so that we turn to him. Father, you have just blessed us so much with your word. The idea that we can read your words to us and know what you have to say, and then use your spirit to put it in our mind, in our heart, in our activities, And you give us the ability to just feel free, because the truth really does set you free. Thank you for that fact. Give us your presence, your peace, and your encouragement, and bring us joy, even in all the sorrow. Bring us joy. Make us your children and your representative. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.